This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
NFL writer for NFL Media and NFL.com, Eric Edholm, joining us once again on the morning shift. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Good to have you back with us. How'd things go for you in Indy?
Yeah, I think pretty well. I mean, a lack of sleep aside, right? I didn't have my special pillow and all that, but no, it was a busy week as always. And we stayed till the bitter end at NFL Media. I was there through the offensive line workouts on Sunday. So just got back yesterday, kind of processing some things, making some calls, and trying to figure out how this draft is going to go.
Well, you're kind of starstruck, huh? Meeting the guy in the hotel that threw it right to Jimmy Chitwood.
I think what happens is you ask for your car to be brought around, and they take an extra 5 minutes so this guy can tell his story of glory for you. No, I'm kidding. He's a really nice guy. He's the dude who turns the ball over late in the game. I guess that's better than not being in the movie or something.
Yeah. Look, you know, there's so much about these defensive line group, and Shamar Stewart is a guy that really just kind of just jumped off the out of the workouts in Indy over the weekend. And when you watch him on film, he's good, but he doesn't really just stand out as a complete edge rusher. What's everyone saying about him up there after that workout and what they project him as in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't think anyone was stunned to see him work out the way he did, only because I think, you know, the reputation in the scouting community was that pound for pound, Shamar Stewart might be one of the best athletes in this draft, if not, you know, top two or three anyway. I think he's right up there. And when you see those kind of workouts and those measurements put together, it just screams top 10. It really does. Historically, very few players with those kinds of dimensions and that kind of athleticism make it much farther than the 12th pick, at the most 15th, something like that. So, you know, that's the reality. The tape, obviously, like you said, is a little bit inconsistent. You do see a pressure source, but not a consistent sack source. And you know, I was talking to some personnel guys just about that in general, kind of the workout versus the tape, and somebody brought up Rashawn Gary, who I think had three and a half sacks his final year. Danielle Hunter had a three-sack season before entering the NFL, and of course, both those guys have become quality pass rushers, injuries aside and whatnot. But so I think it still goes back to the combination of the tape being good. Not, I wouldn't say it's exceptional, especially on that defensive line, as good as it was at A&M. But the traits are undeniable, and that I think is going to bode very well for him. So, you know, as a team like Atlanta in play, if he's there at 15, I think they would scoop him up. If I just had to guess today, you know, early March, who knows what happens 6-8 weeks from now. But still, I think more than likely, I would say there's at least a 50-50 chance he's gone by that point, but I think he's very much in play for a team like Atlanta.
Eric, on your Twitter account, and I think you're such a great follow during the combine, man. Always keep us do such a good job keeping us up to date. You mentioned a couple, you know, conversations. You were jacked up about Tyler Booker and some of the things he was saying. Trey Henderson was another guy that you thought was very polished. A lot of the conversation, though, in the last 24 hours has been about Shedeur Sanders and how he came off the media or how he came off to multiple teams, Josina Anderson, Todd McShay. What did you make of Shedeur Sanders at the podium and you know, kind of the energy that he was emitting?
Yeah, I was actually at a different podium at that time, so I didn't see. But, you know, some people I talked to who were listening to his media session thought it was great. So, you know, who knows, right? Again, is that exactly the person he's portraying in the private meetings? It's hard to know. Unless I talk to kind of multiple people in the same meeting and get kind of the same type of takeaway, it's very difficult for me to say, like, oh, he had poor meetings and stuff. I've had teams tell me about guys who struggled in an interview or projected themselves a certain way that was off-putting, whatever it is. And, you know, and then later talked to a different team and said, you know what, he was actually pretty good when we had him in there. So some of these meetings happen late at night, right, too. You never know how these guys are coming off at different times of the day. They might have been stuck in medical. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, you know, an 18-minute interview probably can only tell you so much. But for some people, it's a first impression. Right, they certainly have heard the name Shedeur Sanders, and this is, of course, when the coaches get involved in the scouting process. You know, like Dan Campbell said, my biggest thing are these meetings, because even though our scouts have known these guys for over a year, I'm just getting to know them now. And so when you hear that, it obviously does put some weight on that evaluation. For Sanders specifically, you know, he was touting is sort of rebuilding two different programs, Jackson State, which was, you know, let's face it, like many HBCU programs, they were flying well below the radar. And he and Dion and Travis Hunter and the rest of them showed a huge spotlight on it. The landscape there is different. Colorado was a dead, dormant program. Yeah, no buzz whatsoever. Completely changed with their arrival. It's a package deal, obviously, so you know, the whole operation deserves some credit for that. But, you know, I think what I heard most from scouts about Shedeur was the physical traits are not that thrilling. You know, for the son of Deion Sanders, yes, he has Hall of Fame DNA coursing through his body, but this is not somebody with a rocket arm. This is not somebody who is an elite scrambler. This is a smaller than normal quarterback. His body is a little bit on the lean side. He's taken a lot of sacks. However, he's tough. He's creative. He's accurate. I mean, there's some very, very redeemable traits. But the sense that I got was that there's no guarantee he's going to be a first-round pick. Remember Will Levis a couple years ago? Some people had him third, fourth, fifth overall in mock drafts. He fell to 33rd. It wouldn't totally stun me if that ends up happening with Shedeur, just because people aren't really in love with this class in general. And I would say Cam Ward has maybe a little bit more alluring set of traits.
We've got NFL writer for NFL Media and NFL.com, Eric Edholm, joining us here on the morning shift. Eric, I saw you posting times for the offensive lineman. You said you stayed till the end. So Georgia offensive lineman Jared Wilson, he was top five all-time in offensive lineman with the combine 40. And you noted that on his second try. What did he do for himself with 4.84?
And a quick aside, I'm a little disappointed you didn't mention Tate Ratledge in the Freebird video. They put his flowing locks. I just got to say that was a tingling moment from the weekend. Yeah,
you can hit them both.
This is the perfect example, in my opinion, of a player who was a one-year starter, obviously goes to a team that is known for offensive line talent, incredible depth in general, had to wait his turn behind Cedric Van Pran. Once he did, he played well, but had, you know, missed a couple games for injury. You know, so there's a small body of work for Jared Wilson compared to other prospects in this draft. And what do? You go out and turn out a borderline record time. I think Jason Kelsey has some of the records for centers, you know, guys in that 290 range or whatever workouts wise. But it was impressive. It was great. Anytime you can kind of top the list and stand out above the rest, you got a chance. And there aren't a whole lot of pure centers in this draft. That's the position every year teams struggle to find. I remember one year a team telling me they had like three draftable centers on their entire board, you know, which is, you know, that all of a sudden it's like quarterbacks. The need is so high and the supply is so low, you know, those guys can't help but be pushed up the draft. So he's definitely a player I want to see a little bit more on. I obviously watch Georgia's offensive line plenty, but, you know, focused on some other guys sometimes. But I'm excited. I mean, I think there's a chance he could maybe be in day two here, but I've got to ask around a little bit more about how the league feels about him.
Eric, I've watched Mike, me and Mike actually played in the league, so I watched film with him, and we watched some Mike Green stuff. He looks phenomenal on film what you've seen. But, again, we're here talking about something that has nothing to do with football, and there's some stuff about why he left Virginia, and then it popped up there's something in high school. What's the scuttlebutt around him if that's going to affect his draft stock?
Yeah, teams have known about the alleged incidents or the questions about what exactly happened, whether you're talking about high school or Virginia prior to him leaving for Marshall. Teams have done a lot of homework on that. I have not had a team say, he's off our board, we have the full picture. I have not gotten that kind of information. I think teams were keeping it a little bit close to the chest prior to the Senior Bowl or at the Senior Bowl, which is when I asked a couple of different people about him. You know, we're talking about the nation's sack leader and a guy who showed up at the Senior Bowl and clearly looked the part. I mean, this is somebody who belongs very much so and is in that first-round picture. But it's another player that, again, you have to be careful with these things and make sure you do as much homework as you can to find out what the consensus is or what multiple teams feel about him. So there may be some teams who are a little bit leery, right? If they don't have a clear picture of exactly what happened, or if they don't like some of the answers they're getting either from Green or from other people, I wouldn't be shocked, especially given the edge talent in this class, that teams just say, you know what, better safe than sorry. We're gonna take him off our board for character reasons, or put him on our sub board, which means, you know, I mean, essentially they wouldn't draft him where he's valued at. You know, like the player is a first-round pick, but we're not going to take him in that range, essentially. So hard to know. You know, that's something that I think over the next several weeks teams are probably going to be digging even more on. They may have thought they had the full picture and not been aware of something, and that's how the scouting process works. A series of checks and balances that, you know, start at the area scout level, work up to the director, and then the GM obviously has to make the decision on, you know, or what are we going to do with this player.
Eric, we appreciate all that you do and the great work, and you taking the time to join us this morning after the combine, because I know you got to be tired after that.
Hey, you know what? I had a nice drive home yesterday. I had a few lozenges on the way home, and we're ready to go again. So I appreciate you having me.
Glad you're still with us. All right, thanks, Eric. Take care.
All right, see ya.